Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the conclusion of a series that I've been doing for 4 weeks, talking about a sure foundation, which is basically just emphasizing how powerful the Word of God is in our life. And it has been my example that this is what has changed my life. It's what has given me a sure foundation. It's what's caused me to grow is the importance of the Word. And the people that I deal with, the reason that they are experiencing so many difficulties is because they don't have a sure foundation, because the Word of God isn't working. When a person puts the Word in their life, it makes a difference in the results that they get. It makes a difference in the way that they view things. And this is what we've been talking about. Today's going to be my last day on this. But, you know, I also want to say this, that today's January the 22nd. This is now the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. And, you know, recently in my teaching that I did not too many months ago on Christian Philosophy 1 and 2, I talked about abortion and how it's affected our nation. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing, not only here in the United States, but around the world. But just in the United States, since January the 22nd, 1973, when Roe versus Wade overturned, or I don't know what the right wording is, but it allowed abortion on demand in the United States. Since that time, there have been over 50 million children killed in the United States. And of course, this number could be multiplied many times over outside of the United States. Also, New York and California are not required to report all of their abortions. And so they don't even report the full figures. And there's over 50 million children that have been murdered in the United States without including New York and California. So the numbers, of course, I believe are much, much higher than that. And I know that this is a controversial issue, but again, I want to just relate this to what I've been talking about, that we've been talking about how the Word of God needs to be your foundation. And there are a lot of scriptures. Psalms 139 talks about how that God possessed us in our reins. He formed us. He knew every part of us before they were even formed. And He talked about us as being human beings, people, before we ever came forth out of our mother's womb. You know, this week, the last few days, I've been talking about John the Baptist. And let me just share some things with you about John the Baptist. It was prophesied by the Holy Spirit speaking through Gabriel when he appeared to Zacharias, that Gabriel said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Here it is in the Amplified, because the King James is a little wordy. Here's the Amplified translation of Luke chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit even in and from his mother's womb." And this came to pass in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. It says there that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It seems apparent to me that when the Holy Spirit filled John the Baptist was when he was in his mother's womb, and it was at this time when the Holy Spirit came in and upon Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth, later recounting this back to Mary, said this in Luke chapter 1, verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now, here's the significance of what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit came and filled a person, not a fetus, not a hunk of tissue. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in and from his mother's womb, and God would not fill just a hunk of tissue. He filled a person. Even though John the Baptist was only 6 months into the pregnancy and 3 months before he was actually born, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That says volumes right there about when does life begin. And see, this ends this question about, well, a woman has right over her own body. It's not her own body. The child has a separate DNA many times separate blood. It is not your own body. It may have been conceived in your body, and it may be carried in your body, but it is not your own body. It is a separate human being that God saw as a separate person, and God filled a human being with the Holy Spirit. Notice also it said that the babe leaped in her womb for joy. And so here is a six-month-old child in the womb, not born out of the womb. I hate to use the word fetus, but it was an unborn child, a child 3 months before the actual birth took place. And this child experienced emotions and leapt in the womb for joy. Any person who kills a child, an abortion, that child feels that. You know, when they made this ruling of Roe versus Wade, they didn't know these things. Medicine hadn't proven this. Science hadn't gone in with ultrasound and all of the things that we have to find out whether a child was a viable human being. Everybody had just accepted that since the beginning. Common sense ruled that it was a real living human being. But the court case, the way it was presented, in the absence of empirical scientific proof, they just assumed what was convenient, and they ruled that a child wasn't alive until they could sustain themselves outside of the womb. Since that time, all science evidence on this, ultrasounds, many different things. I've seen movies on this, The Silent Scream, and many different things. Every bit of scientific evidence since then has proven that a child does feel and have emotions and respond to even music that it hears, you know, through the mother's womb and things like this. There is not a single shred of scientific evidence that would imply that a child is not human before it's born. And those who say, well, life can't be sustained outside of the womb. Well, when do you come to when a person becomes viable? Do you wait until they're 10 years old and they could feed themselves and go out and hunt and cook and fend for themselves? I mean, when a child is born outside of the womb, they aren't able to sustain themselves without somebody's help either. You know, the truth is that a child is a living human being, and you do not have the right to abort. You know, let me show you this statistic. 80% of all abortions in the United States are performed among unmarried women. It has nothing to do with the health of the baby, with the risk, with any of these kind of things. It's nothing but a form of birth control. People are using it for convenience. And they say, but I'm not prepared for a child. Well, then you shouldn't have been prepared for sex. Well, I don't have the money. I can't do this. Well, then you shouldn't be out there sleeping around and doing things. You ought to practice responsibility. I'm not saying these things because I hate people. I'm saying these things because I love life. And I'm telling you, I don't care what your feelings are. You do not have the right to take the life of another person, especially in the womb. That ought to be the most sacred, protected place on the face of the earth. And 80% of the people getting abortions are using it just for convenience because they weren't married in the first place. They shouldn't have even been having children in the first place. There's approximately 1% of all U.S. abortions are considered to be hard case emergencies. Now, what they mean by that is that the mother's health, the baby's health is in jeopardy. Either it was a rape case or an incest case. Now, I don't personally believe that just because it was rape, that justifies you taking the life of the child. I've got a friend who was raped and thought about aborting him, but decided that, you know what, that wasn't right. And this child that was born, it was from another race. And so there was going to pose problems, her having this child single. But you know what she did? And it's turned out to be a tremendous blessing. I don't think that justifies taking the life. But in the mother's health, I mean, if somebody's going to die, maybe you could justify it. I don't know. That's not my point. But when you talk about the baby's health, did you know sometimes they misdiagnose things? Plus, you can be healed of things. You know, I just want to play a little thing for you that my television crew put together. And this is about a couple who God told them that they were to have another child. This would be their fourth child. God instructed them to do it. And so they did it, even though they had three other children. And the doctor said this child was Down syndrome. There was proof. There was evidence of it. The doctors wanted them to abort. And yet they decided to believe God, and I think you'll be really blessed by this. So just watch this, and I'll be right back.
We decided that we were to submit to God's plan for our life, and we decided to go ahead and have our fourth child. And, you know, we had thought we were done. We had three beautiful children, but we certainly knew that it was time to listen to God. And shortly thereafter, we did conceive our fourth. And after a couple of pregnancy tests that were positive, we went and had the ultrasound done. And sure enough, number four was on the way. Then we went to our next ultrasound appointment quite a few weeks later, and there was some concern.
She completed the scan, and when she was done, she said to us, she said, there's several factors here that convinced me that this is a Down syndrome baby. She told us that there was fluid on the baby's brain. She told me that the baby's head was more round, and normal healthy babies have more oval shaped heads. She said that the cheekbones were flattened, that there was a flattening here, and that the nose bone was not visible at all, that she couldn't get a measurement on it. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, the was missing from the pinky. She showed us that there were calcium deposits in the baby's heart. She said that the limbs from here to here and here to here on the arms and the legs, as far as from joint to joint, were shortened, that they weren't the right, they weren't growing at the correct length. They were showing a shortened deformity in the bone structure. She told us that the kidney had showed water on the kidneys. She said, no, you have a greater than 1 in 2 chance that this baby has Down syndrome. She talked to us about termination. You know, she said, you know, your options as well would be to terminate this pregnancy. She told us, we don't do abortions here, but we could give you a reference for that. And that was very hard for me to hear, because that would not ever be an option for us, you know. And I was very adamant in my reply back to her that that's not something we're interested in doing.
When the doctor left the room, I stood up and immediately canceled this diagnosis. This was not what God had for this baby. This was not of God. It was clear that this was Satan trying to attack what God had as a plan for our family, and I canceled the diagnosis immediately.
He said, I cancel this diagnosis in the name of Jesus. I cancel this diagnosis that we don't believe these things that were spoken over our child, and we don't accept it. You know, that God called this baby out, that this was His will for this child to be born, and that we don't believe that these things are the truth, that these are facts, that we believe that they're real, you know, that they're facts in the natural world, that God's, that, you know, the doctor is doing her job and has shown us.
This was something that we saw in no uncertain terms. This was really there physically in the natural. And yet we knew in the supernatural that this is not going to happen to our baby. And we were going to believe that God was going to heal our baby. And yet, it was a tough time to go through.
When Holly called me the day that she got the diagnosis and said to me, Alex, they've told me that my baby has Down syndrome, I remember the feeling of, oh my gosh, this can't be. And for a second, I was down there with her. And then I remembered, but God. And I just remembered God promised this baby. It was His idea. It wasn't His idea to give him a Down syndrome baby. It was His idea to give him a whole healthy baby. I remember telling her, what if is not an option. Your baby is whole and healthy, and it doesn't matter what the reports of man say. God's report says that your baby is whole and healthy. And we really, through the 6-week process, I do remember Holly simply, I would check up on her every now and then, and I'd say, how are you doing? She's like, I'm at peace.
On March 27th, we went back to the specialist so she could have another look at our baby. But I really went back believing. I had the faith for this, that whatever was on the screen, I was not going to let that move me. I was not going to let my emotions override what I knew God's Word said.
We went into the doctor's office, and the nurse said that we were going to have a different doctor, which was absolutely fine with me because I didn't really like the news the last one delivered. But Holly mentioned that she wouldn't mind speaking with the original doctor, and so the nurse notated that and went and found that doctor, and she actually came a few minutes later.
It took a really long time. She spent about, it was over an hour that she was taking measurements and doing things that just seemed to be forever. And I could hear my husband. He was actually singing and praising God in the background. I could hear him singing a song that I'm counting on God. He was humming that in the background. And she would measure and take another measurement. And then at one point, she just kind of stopped, and it just seemed kind of strange to me. She stopped, and she said,
"If this was the first time I had ever seen this baby, I would tell you this baby has nothing wrong with him. He is perfect in every way."
Then it got quiet again, and she measured more and measured more. And it was a little while. My husband and I started to realize that she was taking the same measurement more than once. You know, she was measuring the arms and the legs and the circumference of the head, everything. She was just doing it repeatedly. So when she was done taking her measurements, she stopped and she put her things down and she just looked at us and she said, "You know, this is just one of those times where you just throw your hands up in the air."
When she called, I just was silent, weeping, thanking God, glorifying Him for His faithfulness, knowing that when we actually dare to step out, our Daddy does not let us down. Our Heavenly Father does not let us down.
They admitted Holly to the hospital and started the process of inducing her.
Really, it was just like a half an hour of labor, of active labor.
When he came out, it was just absolutely amazing. He was so big. It was far and away the largest baby we've had at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. He was 22 inches long, and I immediately went over and looked at Nathaniel afterwards, and his color was perfect. His everything about him, he looked like this perfect angel.
And when they had moved him over to the baby nurse that was cleaning him up, I started to tell her our testimony and our story of you know, the different things. And she stopped and she said, "Not this baby. I gave this baby a 10 on his Apgar score, and I don't give 10s.
This baby had an Apgar score of 10, which is perfect. And I kind of looked at it as God just showing off.
Praise God. I hope that blessed you the way that it's blessed me. You know, those people that they were interviewing, Steve and Holly, these people, it was because of the Word of God that they were able to accept God's report and not just the report of the medical profession. I'm not against the medical profession, but they make mistakes. And plus, even if it's in their case, where there were some signs and some proof that this baby was Down syndrome, that is not a death sentence. God can heal you of that. Plus, even if you didn't believe for healing, that's not to say that the life of a Down syndrome baby is less important or less valuable than the life of some other baby. You know, it's just not right to take the life of an unborn child. It's wrong. It's sin. And I know that that is not the current opinion today. You know, recently I was kicked off of, I had my program withdrawn from a station in England because of these kind of things, because over there it's politically incorrect and they're trying to get it over here in the United States so that it's hate speech. I'm not talking against people. I'm not speaking hate, but man, you can't talk any more hate than killing a child in a womb. I'm just standing up for the right of the unborn, and it's wrong to do that. And people are saying, "But that's not what I've heard, and that's not what this agency says, and there's so many people that do it. But here's my point. This is what I've been teaching on for 4 weeks. The Word of God should be your foundation. What does the Word say? You can't go to the Word and find out anything that would support abortion. You can find a lot of things that would deny abortion. You would find a lot of things that talk against it. I've given you 3 or 4 on today's program. And I just want to say, I know that there are a lot of Christians that when I talked about this previously on that Christian philosophy, I had a number of Christians write in, Christians who were enjoying my program on other things. But when it came to abortion or when it came to issues of morality, they would say, well, I was offended that you would say that and you were so full of hate. I am not full of hate. I'm not mad at anybody. I've got friends. I've got people on staff right here in my ministry who have had multiple abortions. But you know what? They admit that it was the wrong thing to do. They've repented of it. I don't hate them. Those people would be the first one to tell you that they made a mistake. I'm not against people. I'm not hating you. I'm telling you the truth because I'm trying to set you free. And on the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, I'm trying to put forth the truth that children are people. It doesn't matter how small they are. It doesn't matter whether they've actually been born or not. The moment that they are conceived, they are a viable, living human being. God considers them to be a person. And it's wrong to abort babies. It's wrong for whatever your reasons are. And I'm just trying to share the truth with you. And if the Word means anything, if the Word really is your foundation, then you know what? You can't come to another conclusion. There is no justification for this. Just to say that it's convenient or that I don't have the money, I can't give it the right upbringing, it would suffer. Well, let me ask you, which is the great suffering? Being brought up in poverty, which many, many, many people have lived through and survived and even gained lessons through it and helped made them a better person. What's worse, growing up in poverty or being killed? I guarantee you, you just don't have the right to make that decision. Again, I am not mad at anybody, but I am mad against the way that our nation has just chosen for convenience. 80% of the women getting abortions aren't even married. They are just living an ungodly, immoral lifestyle and using abortion as a form of birth control. I'm against that. That's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And I can guarantee you, we've now aborted over 50 million babies. We are having problems in this nation that, you know what, if we had 50 million more people who were alive and involved in the workforce and earning a living and paying taxes and doing things, there's a lot of problems that that would solve. Plus, how much creativity and how much everything else have we lost? This is just wrong. And on this anniversary of Roe versus Wade, I just once again want to refer you back to the Word of God and tell you that you need to base your life on what God's Word says. And I don't care what the culture says, this is the truth from the Word of God that I've presented, and I believe it'll help you. Remember that today's my last day to make this teaching on the Sure Foundation available, so listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Sure Foundation, is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled John the Baptist is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fourth CD free of charge when you write or call.
I want to remind you that today is my last day to offer these materials on a Sure Foundation. We have a CD set, 4 teachings in that set, and we also have a DVD set on a Sure Foundation. And we're offering the last teaching in this set on John the Baptist as our free gift to you. So listen to our announcer as he gives you this information and then call or write today.
On today's program, Andrew referenced the Christian Philosophy booklet, which includes scriptures and statistics regarding abortion. This booklet is available free of charge when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance next week, January 28th through the 30th. In Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th and in Merritt Island, Florida February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. How can Caris Bible College impact you?
There's a lot of good things.
I didn't know some of the things I believed were wrong.
Enlightening, just knowing the truth.
That it's not what we do, but what Jesus did for us.
That it's all about knowing Him.
Being closer to Him, knowing Him more intimately.
It's really transforming me as who I am as a person.
His love for us is unconditional.
And God actually loves me, and He's not even mad with me.
And that has become so real to me.
And it has really set me free.
Go to our website at awmi.net and click on the Bible College link or call our helpline at 719-635-1111 to find out about our Colorado Springs location, extension schools, and night school possibilities.
So as I've seen Him, I've been able to see who I really am.
I'm not even trying to, and He's changed me. It's been awesome.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
I'm going to follow this same model, and the very first thing that I'm going to do as we start talking about a better way to pray is to start talking about some of the misconceptions and wrong teachings about prayer. And so we've got to make sure that the foundation of our attitudes about prayer are accurate. And I'm just here to tell you right up front that I believe that prayer is probably one of the most unscriptural and unbiblical things going on in the body of Christ today, the way that it is done.